Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Control Arms is a non-governmental organization that works to prevent the human suffering caused by the unregulated international arms trade. The uncontrolled proliferation of arms and ammunition fuels conflicts, increases human rights abuses, and exacerbates poverty. The link between armed violence and poverty is clear, and promoting a regulated arms trade is a necessary step towards addressing and reducing the illicit manufacturing and trafficking of weapons.
Hi, this is Mariana from Control Arms, and this is our podcast series unveiling the impact of arms control, real-world insights. Let me introduce you to what we work on and why. Did you know that the UN estimates that there are 1 billion small arms and light weapons in circulation worldwide? And have you ever stopped for a moment to think about the threat that these weapons pose to peace and to security? Because pursuing responsible practices and accountability in the regulation of the arms trade represents one of the major challenges that we need to address to reach sustainable development, peace and security for everyone. The arms trade and the very presence of weapons can destabilize communities, countries, and regions, can fuel violent crimes, and lead to violations of human rights. These present substantial hurdles for maintaining public safety, promoting peace-building efforts, and upholding the international legal framework. In this context, multilateral agreements such as the United Nations Programme of Action on Small Arms and Light Weapons, the UNPOA, the UNTAC Firearms Protocol, and especially the Arms Trade Treaty, the ATT, aim to address these global challenges. The impact of these agreements differs widely between different geographical areas, as the success is largely determined by a country's commitment to implement and enforce the multilateral agreements, a commitment that is often influenced by domestic politics and economic and security interests. So, with this introduction, let us turn to the lineup of today's speakers, who are Shirin Yurdi, member of Control Arms International Board, Edward Chaka from People's Federation for National Peace and Development, PEFNAP, and Pauline Dampers, a human rights activist from Namibia. We will have three episodes of this podcast series. Each episode will be dedicated to a different topic. We will start with framing what has been the impact of guns on different countries and regions. In the second episode, we will focus on whether multilateral agreements such as the UNPOA and the ATT had a tangible impact on countries, especially by reducing gun violence. And in the third episode, we will collect insights from our speakers on what needs to happen at the multilateral level to deliver change at the national level and ensure that the agreements contribute to peace and security. So let's start. Welcome, Shirin, our first speaker. Would you like to add some introductory remarks?
Yeah, let's say that it's a push to include women in the discussion of conventional weapons and small arms light weapons specifically.
Thank you, Shirin. I totally agree with you on women's role in this discussion and especially in disarmament implementation. I would like to ask you, in your view, what has been the impact of guns on your country or region?
Yeah, this is not only a very important question, it's also a scary one once you hear the answer. Unfortunately, with the increase of devaluation of currencies, and not only in Lebanon, but in most of the region in Middle East and North Africa, like Sudan, Libya, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, you can see like almost the same pattern of the spread of illicit trade and weapons of like small arms, light weapon. And this is increasing the escalation of the lack of human security among different components of the community. We've seen like how increase in small arms light weapon have led to more of food insecurity, where poverty and people in poverty regions tend to spend their money in weapons and bullets instead of spending them on finding livelihoods to their families. We have seen the political instability and how various sections have contributed to fragmentations of security with establishment of enclaves and self-security spaces, challenging the central government and letting it leading it to impossibility of having a control. We have seen how minor disputes can lead to deadly conflicts. There is an example from Lebanon that really hurts me. Just three people were killed because of a conflict over coffee 3 years ago. So just imagine after these 3 years how things have escalated, not to mention definitely the environmental, also insecurity with the stray bullets where wooded areas are led to fire, with the ecological challenges to local communities. And we have seen also the social division. And this also, it has been manifested in many parts of MENA, especially in Lebanon, where we see people possessing weapons, exerting some kind of an influence or like superior authorities over those who do not possess weapons. All of these issues have contributed to us seeing like now what is the spread of the small arms light weapon among different components of the communities. Among definitely these are not registered, not licensed, with the implications that it has on countries, especially like not only conflict countries but states with the lack of infrastructures for peace, with states with infrastructure lacking of infrastructures of implementations or monitoring or implementation of laws.
Thank you, Shireen. This is definitely something we need to think about. And our next speaker is Edward Chaka from PEFNUP. Edward, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Edward Chaka, Executive Director for People's Federation for National Peace and Development in Malawi, the only leading institution that deals with the non-proliferation of small arms and light weapons in Malawi and the southern part of Africa. We are based in Blantyre, Malawi. We've been into this area of focus on small arms and light weapons for most 2 decades now, and we work hand in hand with both local and international partners, as well as our government through the Malawi Police Service.
Thank you, Edward. I'll ask you the same question. What has been the impact of guns on your country or region?
Yeah, still more, the impact remains a very big challenge because at regional level, there are so many countries who are into civil conflict. And for us in Malawi, I think we were mostly affected by the civil war that was in the 90s in Mozambique. Then most of the firearms that were left unattended by then found a fertile ground in our country because Malawi has been a peaceful country. Now, with also the influx of refugees coming from these conflicting countries like Sudan, South Sudan, Burundi, DRC, these refugees, also some of them used to be members of the militia groups. So they've managed to come into Malawi and take advantage of our peaceful situation. And definitely, I think this has created a very, very hostile environment for us as a country. More especially as activists in Malawi, we find it very difficult for us to assess and measure the impact, because we don't have the best way of storing, the best way of storing data on the impact of gun violence. Our national police headquarters also has a challenge having this type of data storage. So we're still maneuvering into how best that we go about this. Another challenge also should be how we work with national as well as international instruments. At the moment, we haven't yet ratified the arms trade treaty. So far, of course, some success stories. We ratified the nuclear ban treaty previously, but now we're looking towards ratifying the arms trade treaty, which to me, I find it, it's an opportunity that we are in the preparation. We are doing some consultation with the Malawi government security departments and the ministries. But still more, we need to do some engagement as well as advocacy work on the ground. Let Malawians as well as young people who are involved in gun violence should get to know what is the position of our country with other international instruments. If we do that, definitely they should know what they are getting to ratify, do it, because it's not only the government but few politicians. It will definitely positively affect all of us as citizens, especially more us as activists.
Thank you, Edward. This was really interesting to hear. And our last speaker for today is Pauline Dempers. Pauline, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Pauline Dempers. I have started working with firearms during the liberation struggle, and that was the time that I have realized how firearms or arms that are diverted can cause harm to innocent people. I was held by the power of the gun in the dungeons for 3 years, and many of the people that I have worked for more than that. And that is when I have realized the danger of firearms and the danger of diversion.
Thank you, Pauline. I'm curious to hear what has been the impact of guns in your country and region.
I have had experience of gun violence where I have seen when arms were redirected, arms that were intended for good purpose was redirected by the liberation movement and used against its own people. And that is where I have realized the power of the gun, the power of the firearm, and how it can be used and abused. So that's why when I came back, I felt that I should get involved. And I started with the IANSA. And through IANSA, I came to be part of Control Arms, that was by then negotiating for a binding legal instrument that we know today is as the Arms Trade Treaty. And the impact of guns in our country, really, the UNPOA has helped us to start a process to look at and to reduce gun violence in the country. We have established a national focal point of a national action plan that has really well in terms of reducing gun violence and also reducing civilian ownership of firearms. But then this gains restructuring, the first restructuring has of the Namibian police has helped us to realize this and start the implementation process. But then the second restructuring process that happened in 2020 has really reversed these gains, because the secretariat that was part of the national focal point was demolished, and it has become now part of the crime prevention unit. And firearms and the small arms and light weapons program has become non-functional at the moment as we speak. So that's it. And the other thing also is the Arms and Ammunition Act, that were passed after more than 20 years, still awaiting regulations to be functional. And that in itself is a setback for the gains that we had. And it's like starting afresh again as a country, be it from the part of the national focal point that now is lost in this restructuring process, or as part of civil society.
Thank you, Pauline. This was a lot of insights to consider. We're now concluding our first episode, and I would like to thank our speakers and to the public. Please stay tuned, as in the next episode we will talk about multilateral agreements effectiveness with Karina Solmirano, who is the ATT Monitor Project Lead, Baptiste Quinsonayo from Sirocubi, and we will meet again Pauline Dampers. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to connect with us, follow us on Control Arms social media channels. I'm Marianna, and I will wait for you in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.